Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The current major exhibition at the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts, is entitled An Eye for Excellence, 20 Years of Collecting. We visited the museum recently and took a tour of the exhibition with Kathleen Morris, Director of Collections and Exhibitions at the Clark. Take it away, Kathy.
This exhibition shows highlights from all of the things that the Clark has collected in the past 20 years through either gift or purchase of works of art in our permanent collection. And we wanted to do it in part because Michael Conforti, our retired director, was the director during this entire 20-year period. So it's a bit of a retrospective of what happened under his watch here at the Clark. And also we wanted to do it because it really gives a sense of the ways in which our collection has been enriched, and particularly through donations of works of art from a number of really generous donors.
How is the show put together?
We started with an introductory gallery that really looks at the different kinds of things we collect. So paintings, sculptures, works on paper, and decorative arts. And then the rest of the exhibition basically is a kind of chronological walk through time, starting with the Renaissance and going all the way to the 20th century.
All right. Do you want to enter the gallery and start telling me about some of these wonderful pieces?
So we're looking at a sculpture by Jean-Baptiste Carpeaux that we actually bought just a few years ago when we were renovating the museum building. We knew that we wanted certain things that would become sort of focal points or highlights of the new installation, and we needed a beautiful and big and really impressive sculpture to be a cornerstone for our new sculpture gallery. And this came on the market, was a great opportunity, and it's already become a great favorite.
It's Daphnis and Chloe.
Right, so it shows a mythological subject of these two young lovers in a kind of very tender embrace. And Carpeaux was a great a sculptor in terms of his ability to manipulate the marble and make it look like flesh or look like flowers or look like hair. It's just got the most beautiful, sensuous surface that it has a very sort of light and romantic quality to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to imagine that they're made of stone.
I wanted to actually look at these two sets of terrines, or there's one giant terrine that was made in Austria in the 18th century that the Clark bought a number of years ago, and then a pair of much smaller American terrines that were given to the Clark as part of a large donation of silver. And I love the way that even though the little American terrines are so much smaller, they have a sculptural quality that allows them to hold their own next to this quite elaborate and quite strong terrine from the Austrian service. And the American terrines actually have an interesting story, too, because they were part of a gift of silver, an entire dinner service that was given by the citizens of Baltimore to a sea captain who had helped Baltimore merchant marines escape piracy in the Mediterranean Sea. And so out of kind of the sense of gratitude to this great sea captain who was helping them, you know, resist piracy, which was a big problem in the 19th century and actually is still a problem in certain parts of the world, they created this beautiful dinner service and gave it to him.
And would he have used it on the seas or at his home?
You know, we don't know for sure, but actually sea captains in that time had very commodious and very luxurious quarters on their ships, unlike the rank and file sailor. So it's very likely that he could have used it on a ship.
So we're in the second gallery now.
So the second gallery is devoted to Renaissance art, and it has paintings, prints, and drawings in it, including a series of small paintings that were collected mostly in the last 10 years and form a nucleus of a small collection of what is called cabinet pictures. And they're called cabinet pictures because they're of a small scale and a very high level of finish, and they were really made for private collectors in the 16th and 17th centuries who wanted to live with these things in a very intimate way and really be able to use them in sort of private cabinets. And I'm pointing to one right now that's actually a scene of the Lamentation over the body of Christ by an Italian artist named Alessandro Turchi. It's actually painted on stone. You can see the background, the sky, it's like a night scene, which is black, but it's not painted sky, it's just the color of the stone itself. And this was something that was not uncommon at the time for artists to paint on precious materials like lapis lazuli or alabaster or copper, which was actually a very expensive type of material then, or stones such as this one, and find a way to bring out the natural beauty of the substance itself and compose their painting around that.
I was going to ask you about that before you pointed it out, because it is very striking. The completely matte black darkness behind them really emphasizes the sort of devastation of the moment.
Yes, it's a really beautiful concept, and the figures themselves are painted with a great deal of attention and beautiful colors and motifs, such as the drapery of the angel, which is blowing up as if there's a wind kind of coming in from the side. It's actually very moving and very absorbing painting once you start to look at it and think about it. And we also have a large collection of works on paper, which are ordinarily housed in our Works on Paper Study Center. Currently, that's closed during our renovation of our Manton Research building, but it will be opening later this year in brand new and greatly expanded facilities. And it includes things such as this amazing engraving by the Dutch mannerist artist Hendrik Goltzius that shows the great Hercules. And what Goltzius excelled at was creating engravings that are not just looking like real figures or showing his mastery of anatomy. In this case, the figure is fully nude, but it actually is kind of an imaginary idea of what great strength looks like, because this guy has a million muscles.
I'm going to say muscles on muscles on muscles, and not in a smooth way.
And not in a realistic way, even though it kind of follows the realistic contours of the body. So he's kind of let his imagination run wild. And he actually was a really interesting, very successful artist. He had a hand that was completely crippled from a childhood accident, and yet that was the hand he used to create these incredibly intricate engravings. It was something he was very proud of, because he actually made an engraving of his own hand.
So we've made our way into the third gallery now.
So now we're in a gallery that features paintings, sculpture, works on paper, and decorative arts, all from the 18th and early 19th centuries. And this is actually an area of the collection that, to some extent, was not one of the strengths when the Clark first opened. Sterling and Francine Clark were great collectors, but they focused more on Renaissance art early in their collecting career, and then on